Hey, what's going on in Sharkland? This is Eric from the Shark School with another episode of Let's Talk Shark. Today, I'd like to talk about freediving with sharks. This will be a two-part show, and in the first part, I talk about how to approach sharks through freediving, what to look for. In the second show, I will then talk about how to act or react when a shark comes too close, suddenly appears, or you just feel the urge to withdraw, and all these other topics. As one could imagine, the biggest problem when freediving with sharks is the amount of time one can spend next to a shark or interact with the animal. I remember when I started freediving with sharks, how frustrated I sometimes was that I could never get that close. I had enough air, but it didn't work, and I truly wondered why the sharks never swam that close where I hoped that they would be. And so out of this frustration, I worked on some techniques that I smoothed out over the years and tested on a variety of species, including all the big buggers. Tried on white sharks, tiger sharks, bull sharks, you name it. And the results actually are very intriguing. Most of the time, all these sharks acted or reacted the same way. I differ between three approaches. One is the position and weight. Second is level and move. And the third is drop and rotate. So you can tell in all these verbs that there's some activity going on, there's some stopping, waiting, and all these things. So let's start with the simplest one, drop and rotate. As the description implies, you descend straight down. You drop to a depth that you feel comfortable. Go then in a vertical position if you can, or if you want, and start rotating around your main body axis and look around and see what type of sharks are there, how many, and what they do. Should you remain in a horizontal position, which I do not suggest, you can also look around, of course, but the experience told me or showed me that the vertical position is to be preferred. It makes it much, much easier to look around and, of course, then directly go into ascending. You heard me talking about vertical positions in the past, be it when feeling not comfortable or when you have to wait, when you're at the surface. Getting vertical is most of the time the preferred body orientation when you interact with sharks. Remember, we did some research in it. We did a scientific publication where we tested people in a horizontal and in a vertical position, then looked about how sharks react to that. If you like that paper, I'm more than happy to send it to you. Just drop me a note at letstalkshark.com. Anyway, should you prefer to remain in a horizontal position, make sure to also look over your shoulder for any incoming sharks. Using drop and rotate, you are not actively... When using drop and rotate, you are not actively move as a shark, but leave it up to the animal if it wants to come closer or not. But even if the animal does not seem to come close or closer, as long as a shark checks you out, chances are from a second interaction, next dive, next few dives, the animal will then calm down, relax, lose some fear, and will then come closer. So make sure that the shark swims in your general direction before you submerge. That way, you already have an animal who is looking at you. Drop and rotate is the technique that I recommend to all my clients when getting used to a shark through free diving. And if they want to understand their swim pattern a little better, tune in with the animal, fine-tune their techniques and such, it is the best way to just be down there, get a first contact with the shark, but not actively pursuing any interaction. The main importance with this technique is to not drop on top of a shark that is right below you, since that is or can be seen as a threat. Here a little remark of caution. There are scenarios with sharks where you're comfortable depth is too shallow and the sharks are still way below. In that case, you can't interact with them and should accept that. Never ever push depth and neglect safety. It doesn't matter if you can interact or not with a shark, safety first. So anyway, the same token, of course, never force an interaction on a shark. It can be a shark is only about 2-3 meters deep or anything. Well, I can take it. My bottom time is not reached yet. Don't. Ascend, recover, and look for another opportunity. I often start this very technique, drop and rotate, when I have to get used to a bunch of sharks or a new site. And once I'm comfortable with the depth, my breathing, my form, etc., then I change the pattern if there is actually a need to it. Sometimes you have the situation where the sharks are in general curious, but none of them actually comes closer. And as soon you change your swim, your dive pattern, the shark will then wear off. So not always do you find situations where interaction is possible. Anyway, a change in pattern largely depends on the animals present, the swim patterns are. So I have to leave it up to you if or when you want to change a pattern. A changed pattern from drop and rotate would be level and move. That's the second pattern with the aim, or the main purpose, is to dive down to the same level as the shark and then swim parallel to the animal. Here as well, you actually should aim for a shark that actually watches you when you're descending. And most of the time, you're further away than 2, 3, 4 body lengths. But it's more or less like a passing of the shark with you as a moving target. The importance here is that you're able to judge the animal's depth, which you should be able to if you start with drop and rotate. That gives you a pretty good idea. There's a clear advantage of level and move over drop and rotate, since here you have to closely deal with the swim patterns of a single animal. Here you have to understand what a shark is up to, what influences a situation, like you have a little wall, you have a little rock, the bottom is very close, and all these things. By the same token, it can also be a bit overwhelming, since the shark might be large, the visibility so-so, currents exist, and all these other things. So level and move is not that easy. But here as well, judge the situation, how comfortable you feel, and then decide. There's nothing wrong with terminating an interaction should the situation change or not be in a way that you feel comfortable. This brings me actually to the third pattern, position and weight. This is definitely the most challenging pattern, since you not just have to predict where a shark will be in the near future, but also have to make sure that you can reach that exact point in time. So what do you do if you project and predict the shark's swim direction? Then you see if you can reach that spot and be able to remain there for at least 10 seconds. Again, you aim for a point where you think the shark will eventually swim towards or end up with, and you can get to that point at least 10 seconds. Seconds before the shark is reaching this area as well. If it is these 10 seconds that are sort of challenging, well, then again, the shark may likely be too deep. So if you can't remain at the spot for 10 seconds, actually, you can use it as a bottom time, don't do it. On a perfect day, well, you want to have 20 or 30 seconds. So 10 seconds is just the minimum. Whenever working with sharks, give the buggers time to get closer and to check you out. This is what we really call a contact time. Anyway, these were the three approach patterns in a nutshell. But not just the descending, moving or waiting is of importance, of course, but also the ascending. Never ascend when a shark is still inbound, since the animal is already curious and the withdrawing may encourage the animal, the shark, to follow. So withdrawing happens always to the side first and then ascend, but never move away in the same direction the shark approaches. I will get into these withdrawing issues in next week's episode, so this is just a small taste of what to look for and how it works. Of course, moving to the side before ascending is not a guarantee that a shark won't follow, but chances are reduced. At least in our experience, we always realize the shark does not really like to change its swim pattern just because it wants to follow us. Most of the time, they just want to look at us and then they keep going. Remember, it's called the passing. But what if the animal still does come closer and you feel there's a need to act or react and you may not be able to ascend right away? Well, then you have to swim towards the shark or go vertical and let him come close. Remember, face guide, push move, this is exactly where this comes into play. Here, you can also see, of course, why you should never go towards your limit regarding bottom time, because sometimes a shark or a situation with a shark demands some additional temporary attention. So you see where this ends, right? the overall bottom time you have and how to use it. So I cannot stress this factor more, but keep training. Keep holding your breath, try different techniques, how to relax, and all these other things that make you reach bigger, better depth or longer contact time. Me, I'm not into depth with sharks. I just like increase of contact time. This brings me now to the last point in this show, getting in sync. It is probably the greatest experience one can make with a wild animal, being close to one of the most misunderstood super predator on our planet, and even more so, should the animal focus on you too. But not just that, the more you can listen to yourself and are able or capable to read the shark, the longer the contact time will be. That's actually some food for thought. One thing is for sure, when I have to feel free and seek harmony with nature, I always choose free diving with sharks. That's it for today. Tune in again for another show of LTS. Have a great day, and if you meet the shark out there, have fun, enjoy the moment, and remember, it is a privilege.